Good evening.
You got strobe lights today.
We are talking about decimate your fear. I will tell you very clearly that you either decimate your fear or your fear will decimate you.
Yep. That's for sure.
Now, we're all afraid of something. I have not met anybody. Now, some of you, I don't know what you're afraid of yet. When you take Miss Sandy, I don't know what she's afraid of yet. I haven't figured that out. Because she's brave. When that coral snake bit Brianna, she went and caught the coral snake. Because, you know, you got to have the right snake because they got to give you the right venom or it's not going to work. So the hospital's very important. You were able to tell the hospital exactly what snake bit you. So she just, I asked her, I said, how did the hospital know which venom to give? She said, because I took them the snake.
Well.
How'd you catch that snake? Is that what you did? You dropped him in the bucket. All right. That's... Anyway, I don't know about the nurse, but I can only imagine their face when you bring in, here you go, here's a coral snake for you.
Oh, my.
See, if I was a nurse and you brought in a coral snake, I'd just go ahead and hit myself with the anti-venom right now. Ain't no point taking no chances. You got a snake in here. My son's like that. My son, when he was a little boy, he went fishing and he caught a water moccasin. That's a deadly snake. And he reels it up, and for some reason, Marjorie and I are passing by the canal that he's fishing in, and we stop to see how he's doing. Well, we see how he's doing. He's got a water moccasin on the other end of his line. He's reeled it up. And we're telling him, cut the line. And how old is he? 8 years old, right? Cut the line. That's a water moccasin. He knew it was a water moccasin. So he sends mom home for scissors to cut the line. Now let me explain something to you. That boy's got knives and scissors. He don't need mama to go home and get a scissor. He had a different plan. His plan is to get his lure out of that snake's mouth. That was his plan. So, Mom, go home and get me some scissors. Now, that boy's got every kind of knife you can have. You don't need no scissors. Luckily, we're smarter than he was. And we said, no, you will cut that line right now. We're going to watch you do it, but you're cutting that line. And then his agenda came out, but I don't want to lose my lure. No, that lure's gone. It's gone. It's just gone. Maybe that's a healthy fear. I ain't messing with no water moccasin, and I ain't messing with no coral snake. I will kill either one of them. I have no problem there, but I don't know if I'm going to try to catch one. That's another story. But you do what you got to do. I watch fear cripple people. Mm-hmm. It's a paralyzer. It's the great paralyzer. Somebody will stay at a minimum wage job their entire life because they're afraid of the challenge of something else. Or they're afraid of even applying for another job because they're just so comfortable where you are. Mm-hmm. Right? So... God does not want us to be fearful. We know that. And yet we all have fear of something. And so what we want to look at tonight is how can we conquer our fears? Because the Bible says, fear not many times, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. So the question is, what are some of the things we can do to help us alleviate or get over being fearful? So I'm going to let Linda start with that.
Satan sends legions of fear-filled demons to attack your mind. If the demon can instill fear in your mind, then it will transfer the manifestation of fear to the body, which is known as anxiety and depression. The body will surrender, not submit, because there is a difference between the two.
If you submit, you journey into the will of another, you still have some control in the situation. If you surrender, you journey into yourself, releasing total control.
The full manifestation of being bound with the bondage of fear is where fear is seen in the movement of the body. That's through sickness. That's through contortion. That's through anything that is not godly. We're going to define decimate. Jimmy, flip these front lights out so this screen will come up. There you go.
Decimation was a form of military discipline used by senior commanders in the Roman army to punish units or large groups guilty of capital offenses such as mutiny or desertion. The word decimate is derived from Latin meaning removal of a tenth.
Yes, removal of a tenth. Let me go a little deeper with this definition here, okay?
Because I got my own definition.
Okay, give me yours.
You go ahead.
Okay, decimate was used in the Roman army as a way to conquer fear and force faith. Out of every 10 soldiers, now this is fact. Keep those off. This is fact, okay? Out of every 10 soldiers, if one of you showed fear, the 9 before you beat you to death. It's true. That's the way the Romans did it, okay? Okay, Pastor Marie and I were talking, and she said, look at it in a spiritual aspect, Linda. If 10 of us are standing together, yes, and one of us show fear, we've cost the whole 9 fear. We brought fear into the camp, and now everybody's fearful. Moses cost Aaron the promised land. Aaron did not cost the promised land. Moses did because of his disobedience. Through fear that they wouldn't call the water to come. So he was fearful, so he struck the rock instead of calling it like Jesus told him. Okay, now think about this. We had an interactive firework, right? Does that not look like our firework show? Okay, read the bottom part down there. This is what they said to Bishop.
Aren't you afraid?
And this is what you said.
Do you know what would happen if I showed fear?
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, that's exactly what you said. That person was standing beside him, and he says, why aren't you running? And he turns around to me, and he goes, do you realize what would happen if I showed any fear? If he would have took off running, there'd have been no more fireworks because everybody would have went after him. Yes? There you go. Okay, now give me your definition of decimate.
To decimate is to annihilate.
Yes.
It is to paralyze. It is to remove. And it is to block your destiny.
Yes, absolutely. If Satan can get you to decimate your destiny, he wins, hands down. If he can cause you to fear, which everyone, I don't care who you are, everyone battles fear. Everyone battles fear. You can say you don't, I guarantee you, you battle fear. You let somebody come in just a little bit better than you, you let something happen just a little bit better than you, you're going to be fearful. It's just life. That's just human nature. Think about this. Fear is a temptation. You understand? It's a choice. It's a temptation which can become an open door for Satan to use to wreak havoc in your life. Ask me about it. I can tell you about fear. It is the easiest tactic he uses and the most effective of all. Get into a car accident. Let somebody slam on brakes in front of you. Brings fear. Yes? Okay? We need to realize that when we take part or give way to our fear, then we have openly accepted the invitation to release our faith and replace it with fear, thus giving it a place to dwell in our lives, giving to Satan dominion to rule over our thoughts and our emotions. One must remember that fear is a temptation, and Scripture is very clear in saying there is no temptation that has us that Jesus hasn't overcome. Yes? Okay. If he's overcome it, then how do we get rid of it? We apply faith. So we're going to start with the first slide here.
I came this far by speaking my faith, not my fear. Speak your faith always. It will decimate your fear. We have to be careful what we raise. Because things start as an embryo. They start off microscopic. And then as they grow, they get stronger, they get bigger, they can get to a place where, you know, like I've raised a son, you know, in about another 30 years, he'll be able to whip me. He'll be bigger than me. He'll be stronger than me. He might could do it now, but I have faith that I can go 30 more years.
You're not right.
But we raise it. You got to remember that you're raising something. You're raising something. And so it's very important that we begin to speak more to our faith than to our fear.
Yes.
I'm not a fearful person. I do have one fear, and if you have ever figured it out, what my one fear is that I'm aware of, I will tell you if you've never figured it out. But my fear is that to fail. I have a fear of failure. Which is why I overcompensate in so many areas, because I can't fail. I have a fear of failure. Other than that, I'm not fearful of very much. I have a fear of glass, because I severed my hand on a piece of glass. So I've had a healthy fear, but it was more of a healthy fear. When I worked in the lumber yard as a kid, I was the only one allowed in the glass room. This is the guy with the fear. My fear was that one of the other guys, because they put us 17, 18-year-old kids in a room with glass and a knife.
Oh, my.
Cut the glass for the customer. No training. Show you one time. You score it, you snap it, and you hand it to them. And so I would go into the store, and on my shift, everybody knew they had to stay out of the glass room because I wouldn't let them in there. I had to go in and cut the glass because I felt that they would get hurt, and I had enough respect for it not to get hurt. And I did it with fear. It wasn't easy, but I did it. I did it. But I have learned that there's no fear we cannot overcome.
Yes.
And most of the time, it's from repetition. Right? It's like the first time that I ever spoke publicly, my knees rocked. They shaked. And I kept telling myself, I wasn't speaking to my faith, I was speaking to my fear. And what I told my fear is, I ain't never doing this again. Yep. That was the first thing I said. I ain't never doing this again. I was speaking to my fear, not my faith. My faith, I should have said, that wasn't so bad. I bet I'm better next time.
Yep.
Right? I bet I can get better at this thing. I bet I can do it again. I bet, no, I spoke to my fear. I'm never doing this again. But God had placed the angel in the room that I told you about who encouraged me so greatly. And I was able to do it again. But be careful what you speak to, because that's what you're going to raise.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lady. If you don't know the story, once I had finished and I got off the stage, a lady grabbed me about midway as I was walking down the aisle, and she had tears just coming down her face, and she gave me the biggest hug. I'd never seen her before, and she said, "I have to go home and tell my husband everything you said." And, you know, I was reeling because I thought I had screwed it up so bad. I thought I was the worst speaker that ever graced that stage. You know, that I didn't get to say what I wanted to say, and I forgot to say this, and it didn't come out right, and I really didn't explain myself well when I was talking about that, and on and on and on. And I remember in our church where I first started, it was the deacons that would speak when the pastor wasn't there. And there were about eight of us, and there was a rotation. Right? This one, then this one. So you were up like every eighth time, which means you were up about every third year. You know, it took a long time for the pastor to miss eight services. So it has going to be 3-4 years. You're only going to be up that often. And I had been up a couple of times, and I was conquering my fear, and I was up, and then about 2 months later, they came to me, and they said, "You're up." And I said, "No, I was up last time." Not because I was afraid to go up again, but I didn't want to take somebody else's turn. I'm thinking, they all want to go up. They looked at me and said, "Nope, you're up." And so I talked to the head deacon. I said, "What's going on? Because I'm not up." He says, "They don't want to go up. So we want you back up." They're afraid. They gave in to the fear rather than realize that if they would get up there, they would eventually be comfortable speaking in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a natural thing. It is something that you have to overcome. And the only way I can overcome it is by repetition.
Mm-hmm. I've been a nurse, was a nurse for over 20 years, and you would think, by heart, right? You would think that by being a nurse, the constant contact with people face-to-face and people that strangers, that you would get over the fear of speaking in front of a crowd. That's not true. It's a fear that Satan latches onto and uses it to your disadvantage. He will start with the smallest thing. He will start with yesterday. He'll bring it into today, and it'll go into your destiny if you allow it to. I spoke to Bishop earlier, and I said to him, God had revealed something to me. He said to me, "You cannot, understand, you cannot bring yesterday, whatever happened yesterday, whatever you walked away from yesterday, you cannot bring it in today, into today, and expect to go tomorrow to your destiny. It's not going to work for you. Number one, they're not at the level that you are. Number two, they may be a hindrance to you, so you better be careful what you bring into today, thinking you're going to take it to your destiny, because it's not going to work for you." Okay? The first way that we decimate fear.
Decimate your fear when you pray in the Spirit. You know, we had a big conversation this week when somebody had such a confusing thought on the gift of praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And their thought process is that it's a gift, but it's not for everyone. And I really beg to differ with you,
right?
Because when I pray in the Spirit, it's not me that's praying in the Spirit. Yes, I consider it a gift, but I also understand it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it. It's not me. So if we all have the Holy Spirit, we're all born-again Christians, we've been baptized, we have the Holy Spirit, then guess what? The Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. So it'll make utterances for you. It'll pray about things you need that you don't know you need. It'll intercede for others that you don't know what their problem is. You know, if God tells me, pray for Nelson, and I don't know what Nelson's situation is, I'd much rather go pray in the Spirit than try to, you know, mumble that useless prayer, dear Lord, you know, you put Nelson on my mind, and I lift him up before you, and I ask you to take care of him in the name of Jesus. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start praying in the Spirit, because I know one thing, the Spirit knows what he needs.
Right.
And if God's asked me to pray for him and I don't know what he needs, then I'm going to pray in the Spirit. The Spirit knows what he needs. I've done some good.
Yes.
I believe the Spirit has healed me for things I never knew was wrong with me, healed others that they never knew what was wrong with them. Praying in the Spirit is a very, very important thing. So if you do not have the gift of praying in the Spirit, I want you to start remembering or thinking immediately that you have that gift available to you. You don't have to go the rest of your life without it. I was an ordained pastor and could not pray in the Spirit. Had no clue. And my pastor's wife came up to me, Pastor Sonny, and she says, "Can you pray in the Spirit?" I said, "No." That's all she needed to hear. She said, "Come with me." And she baptized me in the Holy Spirit so that I could pray. There's been many people have told me they wanted to learn how to pray in the Spirit, and they've walked up here and ended up leaving here praying in the Spirit. If you think you cannot pray in the Spirit, then you're right. That's what you're feeding. But if you think you can, you're right again, and you feed that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a language between you and God, and it says your enemy will not understand, and that's true. The enemy does not know what the Holy Spirit's saying, but again, I don't do it to confound the enemy. I'm just as happy if the enemy hears me. I have no problem with the enemy hearing me. I want him to hear me. I want him to know what I'm doing. Because I'm basically telling him that, hey, it's on you because I'm going to do this. There ain't really nothing you can do about it. And that's how I choose to conquer things. But I didn't understand the importance of praying in the Spirit. And so nobody ever heard me pray in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I never would do it out loud. I mean, I'd do it privately, lightly, you know, not real loud. And that's when God taught me a huge lesson. One of the biggest lessons in my life was when Danny was in a coma for 10 days. And God said, "You go in that hospital room and you pray in the Spirit aloud and he will wake up." And so the doctor said he wouldn't wake up. The doctor said that he would be brain dead if he did wake up, but he's going to die. He's not going to wake up. But if he did wake up, he'd be brain dead, and he'd be a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they said. And to make the long story short, I went in there and scared Miss Kathy half to death because she didn't know what I was doing, and she had never heard that before. She didn't come from a church with that kind of... And I'm going to tell you, there's some powerless churches... they don't teach anybody anything, and we have one now that I heard about that they were telling me, do not believe you can hear from God and do not believe in the miraculous. They said, if you tell me you heard from God, then you're an idiot because God, you can't hear from God. And I told them, I said, the Bible says... stay away from that type of situation where they have a form of godliness but no power. Get away from it. You're supposed to make sure that you indwell yourself in power. But I went in the hospital room and I began to speak aloud in tongues and Danny woke right up. I mean, it wasn't 30 seconds. That man was awake with no brain damage. Mm-hmm. And everybody was, you know, and I messed some people up that day. There were some people in the hallway, and there were some people that they didn't believe that the whole family, you know, they thought I was evil, you know. Something great happens, and you're being called evil. You know, that's kind of how it goes. But it is between me and God. Mm-hmm. But I think God wanted the Holy Spirit to pray back what Danny needed, and I didn't know what Danny needed. I didn't know the technicality. I didn't know exactly what had to transpire, but God does. Mm-hmm. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows your every thought. He knows your every deed, your every action. You're not hiding anything from God. And so it's God's way of bringing to the surface things that have to be brought to the surface. So when you're fearful, if you will begin to use your prayer language, you would be surprised how quick you could knock that fear out mm-hmm. of your mind. Something happens when you pray in tongues. You lose yourself mm-hmm. because it's not you. You lose yourself. So, go ahead.
Praying in the Spirit allows you to change your prayer to say, I'm no longer going to pray for what I want. Instead, I'm going to pray for what He wants, because He's the only one who's been in my tomorrow to know what I'm going to need tomorrow to fight the lion. And if fighting the lion kills Goliath and it puts the sword in storage when I need it for my battle tomorrow, then I'm going to pray in the Spirit when fear arises. That's what praying in the Spirit says. I no longer pray for what Linda wants. I pray for what God wants, because Linda's selfish, just like everybody. Linda's selfish. She wants what she wants, and she'll do what she needs to do to get it. But God's not that way. So if I know that I'm going to cost something, then I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll be diligent and be truthful, because I know that my own selfish prayer can hinder the reality of God. Whenever you're tempted to be in fear, anxiety, or worry, begin immediately to pray in the Spirit. It will edify the inner man and bring spiritual peace to you. 1 Corinthians 14:2.
Before I read that, I want to mm-hmm. tell them about a call that I got, and they said, we need your team to come over and pray for my son.
Mm.
And we said, what's going on? And I had a prayer team at the time of about, there were 8 of us. It grew to 10 of us, but we'd go out every once a week to a house and pray for somebody. And we saw a lot of miracles, but we got the call one day, and they said, we need you to come and pray for him. And she was a deacon at another church. And the first thing I said to her, I said, what's wrong with your son? And she said, his anxiety, also known as his fear, mm-hmm. has crippled him, and he can no longer function. Okay? That's how far fear will take you, to a place where you can't function. He couldn't function as a human anymore. He was just non-functional.
Mm.
And I said, but you're a deacon at a church. Has your church been there? She said, no, there's nobody there with that kind of power. I said, all right, we're coming. And we prayed over that kid that night, all of us, probably about 8 of us there that night. And we prayed over that kid. And he was 17 years old.
Mm.
And when we left, he was fully functioning again. And he never went back into the fear that he was in. He was healed. We got follow-up reports as time went by, and he was fine. And I've seen it on several occasions, and I'm not sure I understand it. It's like, for me, all right, you know you're somewhere where there's no power, you know somewhere where there is power, but yet you stay where there's no power. I have a hard time understanding that. You know, we had a situation where we had a couple come in here one day, and they were at another church nearby, and she began to explain to me about her prophetic abilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're like, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, we get that. And she looks at me, she says, you don't think I'm crazy? I said, no, you have prophetic abilities. She said, well, my church thinks I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. And then they came back a second time, and they said, my daughter's pregnant, and the doctor says the two babies with twins are going to die. They're not going to live. So we came over here where the power was.
I said, sure did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we prayed over them. It was a Saturday. And we prayed over those babies. We mm-hmm. went to war. And the next time I saw her, she came to show me the pictures of the babies playing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't die. They lived and they were healthy and everything was fine. But the question I have is, what kind of fear stops you from going where you know the power is? You know where to go, but you don't go. I don't think I'll ever figure that out. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. And that is the important part of our speaking in tongues, because, you know, it's not, and churches stifle that. You know, it's like in my last church, we were always told at the altar, do not speak in tongues. Mm. You know, and so it scares people. They leave the church if they hear it. And those things are true, but at the same time, what right do I have to tell the Holy Spirit to shut up? I find that to be dangerous grounds. So I don't think I'm going to tell the Holy Spirit to shut up. I don't think that's my place. But it's very fearful for people who've never heard it. That's for sure, because they're afraid of it. They don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. There's also another one. It's Jude 20 and 21.
But you, dear friends, carefully build yourself up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master, Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. The benefits of praying in the Spirit are more than you'll ever understand. It's very important to God that you do so. So if you do not have the gift of praying in the Spirit, you should tell me, and so I can begin praying and setting up the time that you will get it, because it's very important you get it, and you do have the ability to get it.
There is it's an unexplainable peace and release at the same time when you pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit a lot, and I've been praying in the Spirit a lot more lately than I have probably my entire life. Something comes up that's going to press me, to cause me to fear, I'll start praying in the Spirit and pray until it goes away. That's what God wants. That's how you conquer your fear. You have to press it and press it, and it'll go away. Number two is,
decimate your fear when you, number two, speak the word of God. The spoken truth will set you free. I've preached this till I'm blue in the face. Mm-hmm. You have to talk.
Yep.
You have to run your mouth. If you're not running your mouth, you are not taking advantage of the most powerful tool God has given you, and that is the authority of the word, the spoken word. when fear comes upon you, you have to answer that fear. There's an answer for it. There's always an answer. If you hear a noise and it scares you, you know, you start saying, "Greater is He that is in me than he is in the world. I'm an overcomer. I'm victorious by the word of God, by the blood of the Lamb. I'm victorious." You begin to speak power and strength, and then you become that power and strength. Mm-hmm. When Nelson, you could probably identify with this, Chris, Nelson, sometimes you're trying to figure something out and nothing's making any sense, right? And you've tried everything you know, and this thing's still not working, and you're the technician, and you can't figure it out, I begin speaking things like, "I am the anointed and appointed one to fix this." Mm-hmm. I start speaking to myself. I'm not going to let fear start to, "Oh, I can't fix this. Oh, I don't know what to do." I'm not going to feed that. I feed the opposite. "God, with your help, I know I can fix this. I ask you to show me what to do, because I plan to fix this and we're going to get this thing running." You know, I talk to it. I have no problem in talking to something to bring about the condition that I'm looking for. I'm not going to just sit and be afraid of something because I can't figure it out. I remember I was, at the time, I took care of 16 Burger Kings. And I did all the maintenance, and I did, you know, if a bum took a bath in the sink, I had to go put the sink back on. Mm-hmm. If an RV came through the drive-thru, not realizing that RVs aren't supposed to come through the drive-thru, I had to go fix the roof of the drive-thru. You know, whatever happened, if there was a fire in the kitchen, I had to go, you know, fix everything. Whatever happened, I had to go fix it. And one day I'm sitting there with the district manager, and we're eating, and there's something wrong with my hamburger. It's not right. And I said, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." I went into the kitchen and looked at the broiler. I don't know nothing about no broiler. I never fixed a broiler in my life. But I examined that broiler, and because I wasn't afraid, I did something and I fixed the broiler. Got a new hamburger and went back. Sit there with the district manager, and he's just looking at me. He said, "You just fixed the broiler, didn't you?" He says, "It was messed up." I said, "Yeah, I just fixed the broiler." He said, "I love you." Fear will stop you from trying.
Yes.
Sometimes you got to realize what the downside is. If I went to fix the broiler and I couldn't fix it, I still had a bad hamburger. Well, I already had a bad hamburger. There was no downside. I had nothing to lose. So by fixing it, I got a good hamburger. I had an upside. There was no downside. I already had the bad hamburger.
When you speak the word of God, being that it's the truth and that it would set you free, you'll come to find out that your fear doesn't hold you anymore. I went and laid down today about 3 o'clock, and any other time I would have been scared out of my wits. I dropped off to sleep, not intentionally, but I did. But I woke up to the sound of a man standing at my bedroom window talking to my dog. Somebody I've never heard before. And I'm laying there and I thought, the devil is a liar. Doesn't faze me, doesn't move me, doesn't shake me. I didn't even move. I just went right back to sleep, got up. When I went to leave, my neighbor said to me, "Did you know the young guy that was messing with your dog in your backyard today?" I said, "No." Mary says, "Aren't you concerned?" I said, "No." She said, "Okay." Didn't concern me. I had such a peace about it. But remember, I told you that I've been praying very heavy in the spirit. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm not going anywhere. Yes? So take your stand. You're going to let somebody scare you out of the position that you're in. You're going to let somebody scare you out of the house that you live in. So sorry. Use it to fight your enemy every time he chooses to come against you. Hold up your sword of the Spirit, which is the written word of God, and the shield of faith to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. Speak words of faith and fear will depart. John 8:32.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. No, when we are fearful, we dwell on everything we could lose. When we are brave, we dwell on everything we can gain.
That's truth. When you're fearful, the only thing you can comprehend is what you're going to lose. He's got you in the palm of your hand. If you're concerned with what you can lose, it was never yours in the first place. If God gives you something, God is not going to take it away from you. But if you stand there with it open, the devil sure will. He'll take everything you have. Also Luke 21:15.
For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. A lot of times when we're fearful, we don't realize we're not alone.
This is true.
When you realize that God is with you, then you realize there's nothing to fear.
That's very true. Most of the time when you don't stop and take that second thought that, you know, I'm like me today. I had no concern because I knew I wasn't alone. I had just been praying. Actually, that's how come I fell asleep, was
go,
I was praying.
So go to the next one.
Anyway, with the number three is?
Number three, rebuke fear, refusing to accept what the enemy wants to give you. Refusal is one of your greatest tools. I have used it so many times to my victory that mm-hmm. I refuse what you want to give me. I refuse what you think about me. I refuse everything you say. I just refuse it. It's not me. Just because, you know, somebody said something to somebody, it was a neighbor, said something to somebody, and it's amazing what happened. Mm-hmm. How all of a sudden chaos ensued. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, that neighbor's not God. Why don't you go find out what God has to say? Don't listen to the neighbor. Don't mm-hmm. listen to somebody telling you you can't do something. Go talk to God to see whether you can do it or not. You'll find out that he will enable you to do it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in your heart.
Right.
Don't let people... You have to rebuke people. Isn't that sad? I rebuke myself sometimes. You got to rebuke. If you've never rebuked yourself,
you'd be in trouble.
You ain't using the right tool. Because sometimes I'll say something. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, no, I rebuke that. I shouldn't have said that about that person, or I shouldn't have said that about myself. I have to rebuke the very words that I've spoken.
Yep.
I got to refuse them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I've given life to them. See, the power, this is why you got to rebuke stuff. Rebuke, because the power is in the word, not in your ear.
Right.
So if I say something about Marisol, I've given it life and power. She may never hear me say it.
Right.
Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean I haven't given life to it. That's why one of the greatest prayers you can have is get up in the morning and say, I rebuke every foul word, action, or deed that has come against me in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and that way I kill everything anybody has said or done against me. I just kill it right now. I'm not going to let it have a chance to grow, get friends, get stronger against me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to kill it all right now. Even though I don't know what it is, and I didn't hear it, I don't need to hear it. I just need to stop it.
Right. Go ahead with the scripture for that one.
When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. I had to trust God when it came to operating this church.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the construction phase. I was a happy guy. I was in my element. 6 months of making this place beautiful. Now, if you say, well, it's not that beautiful, well, you should have seen it before.
Oh, my.
Compared to before, it's very beautiful. But after the 6 months, I had to put my trust in God that he would enable me to speak to you. Yeah. And then the big fear came in, can I get another sermon? That one was pretty good. Can I get another one? How am I going to get another one? How am I going to get another one? And that is why when you go in my office, you see all of these books. These are all sermons. Mm-hmm. There's hundreds and hundreds of them. Some of those books have up to 10, 15 sermons in them. And so there's literally probably 1,000 sermons in there. I don't know how many.
Easily.
But lots of sermons. Yes. Been at it for 10 years. So, and yet I've never preached a double except one time by request. I preached fire truck a second time. But I've never preached a double. Okay? Because the Word of God's inexhaustible if I trust in Him. I love my new sermon. You have to wait for it. It's called In the Rainforest. So that's my shameless plug.
Number four is this is how faith drives out fear. The Word of God is life-changing and everlasting. The Word of God is life-changing and everlasting. Number four,
meditate on God's Word. It is life to those who eat of it. Find your peace, and then everything will fall into place. That's why I love to start my day off with a little bit of meditation, thinking about the goodness of God, thinking about how far God has brought me. That's the amazing thing. If you start to meditate on what God's done in your life compared to who you used to be or what you used to be to what you are now and where God's taken you and the blessings and you know, I after last weekend, you know, we were just in such awe of everything God's done in the last year.
Yep.
And so it's okay to meditate on that, the goodness of God and how far he's taken us from when we first started to when we ended. It's just amazing how far we've gotten. God will take you so far. But he wants you to remember where you started.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to remember what he's done for you on a regular basis. Don't forget that there was a time that you didn't have a husband or a wife. And there was a time that you fought with your wife constantly or husband. There was a time that you didn't have children. There was a time, you know, and then where has God taken you? So meditate on God's word because it brings life.
That's it. Seven.
We're done. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus that you've given us the ability to conquer that which comes against us. We continue to strive to be more Christ-like each and every day. And we thank you for your help in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.